This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binchtown TV. This is Brian here with Jimmy, Luke, and Kathleen. We are back with the newest installment of our Binge With Us series. Today, we'll be covering episode 9 of Netflix's The Haunting of Bly Manor. Finale, guys. What do we think?
Oh, baby. Everyone knows this is a me episode. Yeah. I could watch a spinoff of Jamie and Danny for the rest of my life. So it hit completely for me. I understand that there were some things that people were missing. But for me, I was crying in the club. I watched it 3 times in a row. So
I loved it. Jamie, I've been saying it in every episode I've appeared on for this podcast. She's been my favorite character for a while now. And she was the highlight of this episode. There was a lot of things that this episode did really well. But part of it, for me, there were some things that fell flat. And there were some storylines that ended they just didn't satisfy me. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was a hit. And if you were looking at this season in a vacuum and you were not comparing it to Hill House at all, I would have walked away saying this was amazing.
That's the key, I think. Yeah, that's totally the key. And that is how I decided to go into it.
Yeah, I texted the group and I said, this is a Kathleen episode. You know, so I liked it a lot. Like Luke was saying, if it's by itself, I thought it was a great season compared to Hill House. I think it was definitely worse. But when I say worse, you know,
yeah, maybe don't say worse.
I think we all agree this Bly Manor was good television.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are inevitably going to compare it to Hill House because it's hard not to. And I think we all agree Hill House was better. We're all on
good
the same
television
page there.
Versus great television. Yeah. Is how I like to think of it.
But I even think this season by itself is closer to great television than like a straight up good television show. You know, like
I'm saying like 10 versus 8.5 or something. Yeah. Like I thought Hill House was perfect.
Listen, I'm so glad that at the end they said old Flora says that line. This was not a ghost story. It was a love story. It totally changes the genre and lens you look at it through. I mean, it wasn't as scary and it wasn't as devastating and just haunting as the first season. Moving the characters from season 1 and putting them in 2 makes you already fall in love with the characters right off the bat. And I think that gives it a bump up. I just really loved it. I thought it was great TV. I wouldn't put it in the good. I'd put it in the great.
I'm good with that. Yeah, I'm satisfied. I think I'm closer to where Kathleen's at. I think Luke and Jimmy are kind of on the same page.
Yeah.
It's not ready to sing their praises for the season, but that's okay.
Yeah, and when we get to the end of this, we're going to be talking all of the things that left me feeling unsatisfied and all the things that I think it did really well. But for the unsatisfied things, you guys devil's advocate me, and then we'll talk about
sure.
it. Kathleen already convinced me for some of my gripes off podcast, and I already like it better.
Yeah.
Do you think that, before we jump into it, do you think that one more episode making a 10-episode series would have closed some things for you?
I think that they really rushed the ending of the actual story.
I mean, let's just talk about that. By the time the Bly Manor stuff ended, it was like 20 minutes in.
15 minutes in out of a 55-minute episode.
Yeah.
Very quick. A lot of the characters didn't really get an ending. Like Luke was saying, I'm guessing that's what he's going to be talking about too. If you would have made it 10 episodes and made that kind of, I don't know.
If you could have, I don't know.
Great because
yeah, I don't know.
It didn't really need to be long, but that doesn't mean that was a good thing either.
When I was watching episode 9, I was thinking that the first, I think it's only 15 or 20 minutes before they leave Bly and it starts going into more of an epilogue. Yeah. That honestly could have been tacked on at the end of episode 8, and then the rest of it felt like an epilogue. So I'm disagreeing that it should not be longer. I think 10 episodes would have made it worse in my eyes, because it already felt like 8 plus a little bit, in my opinion. It didn't even feel that it filled all 9 episodes up. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem would be with pacing with 8, because I'm guessing they wanted 8 to be mostly the lore story.
The epilogue worked for me, because the epilogue was arguably the biggest reveal of the entire show, is the young characters.
Sorry, I'm including everything post-haunting, like the Jamie and Danny thing, as the epilogue as well.
Okay, I gotcha.
Just like the kind of happy story afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Danny's demise, quote-unquote, is part of the core story and the haunting still. So technically...
And it needed time.
Yes,
sure.
Fully did, and I cannot believe we got that. But I can't wait to talk about it.
It just felt like the story of Bly Manor was told in 8 episodes plus 15 minutes.
Totally agree with you.
I agree. Yep.
Let's jump in.
Yeah, are we ready to go?
Let's do it.
The Beast in the Jungle.
Yep. Yeah. Episode 9. I actually really liked the first scene. It's Mrs. Gross in this memory that we've seen of her interviewing Owen for the job at Bly Manor. And this is the first time that she's 100% completely self-aware. She's confident having this interview conversation with Owen and is talking to him like, you know, an old friend.
Yeah.
She's saying stuff like, what a life we would have had. Well, first off, she says, I am dead. The parents are dead and the kids are in trouble, something like that. And then they start talking, what a life we could have had if I didn't die. It gets a little sappy, but I loved it because I love Hannah and Owen.
She finally says, I loved you. I should have told you, which is so, so sad. But I loved listening to her talk to him. I agree. She had like this confidence and like airiness to her. I really loved this.
I didn't get to be on the last 2 episodes with you guys, and I was just wondering, at what point were you like 100% sure that they were into each other actually?
Okay, so I called you guys out on the last episode because on our 3-4 podcast, which I just listened to recently, Paul says, I think, they made out. At some point, I was like, there's no way they ever kissed. They did not kiss. Here's what I think about.
I think he was joking, but...
No. He was legit. I was like, there's no way they...
let me get him on the phone real quick.
anyway, so he didn't deny it yesterday. When
he brought up hand stuff.
They might have done hand stuff, just no kissing.
You don't have to
Pretty
kiss
woman.
That.
But no, they obviously both loved each other, but they're so innocent. I think Brian said that yesterday. They're so innocent and just like sweet. It's almost a platonic love, but it's an intense, like...
It's a romantic platonic.
Romantic
love,
platonic, if that makes any sense.
The way that I was going about it when I first started watching the season is that she just seemed so much more wise. In like, I'm not saying... She looks older or anything. She just seems like an older soul. So I just took it like she was not. It wasn't like that at first. So it took me a little bit to go, okay, I guess they are really.
I want to piggyback off that because I agree with you. It feels like the maturity level, because Owen's not immature.
Right.
But like you're saying, she's a motherly figure.
Right.
So it feels like she's older.
Owen is like the bachelor too. Like not even at all, but Jamie makes this thing. Yeah. Like everyone in town loves them at some point. So they do kind of paint them in different lights with she's the motherly figure and he's like kind of this handsome cook that comes in and is like...
They also make it a point to emphasize that part of Hannah's story is wrapped up with her husband, who is still alive, which we find that out in the Hannah's episode. So maybe that took away from me thinking that she was going to get a new love story while also introducing the old love story that's kind of open-ended, even though they light the candle for him.
I always thought they both loved each other, but just never said it out loud.
Okay.
Always.
I think they have a crush on each other.
Yeah,
I don't think it took her dying to realize like, oh, that was more than just the crush. Mm-hmm. Like we love each other, you know?
Yeah, I just thought for a while, and I guess I don't want to get it too long into this, but like I took it for a while that Owen was just being charming for her, like the first couple episodes.
Because
he acts like that to all of them at first. You know, he's making the jokes and being...
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But eventually, I got there and I was just like, okay.
By episode 3/4 that our podcast, it was hitting me. But I'm just saying in the beginning, I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. I saw it right away.
Oh,
you know me, I've got that love lens. But so this is, as Brian says, it's her anchor memory she's always in. So she's in this and she is woke at this point. She knows she's dying or dead. And Owen kind of says, okay, you're not selfish enough to stay in this memory. Like, you got to get out there and help me out there. Don't help me in here. Help me out there. And then that's when she comes to. She just can't remain hidden in that memory. She's got to get out.
Which takes us to the front of Bly Manor. And we return to Danny being just absolutely dragged by the lady in the lake.
Yeeted.
She's a strong chick.
Yeah, can we talk about how much of a pussy that Peter is, who just dies by the end of the hallway while Danny gets dragged up multiple stairs?
That is my biggest gripe of this entire show, is that this bitch's MO is to grab someone's neck and kill them within 5 seconds. Yes.
She does it with Henry.
She snaps the plague doctor's neck. We don't see the vicar, but he does it. Peter dies really, really quick. He does it with Henry really, really quick. People die immediately.
So she kills you and she's dragging you the whole rest of her route. Is that how it is?
Because Peter died in the water.
That's what I thought. Like, I always thought she takes you to the water and drowns you.
Because he was a ghost already.
Yeah,
but at the same time, Henry was a ghost when he wasn't actually dead.
He was dead. He just got revived.
Yeah, he was
dead. Okay, then I'm on your side.
Yeah,
I agree. Peter did die in Bly.
Me too.
I just, for some reason, always thought that most of the time she was dragging you to the lake to drown you. But you're right. I think every time it is snapping necks.
Snaps
and
the plague. Yeah. Most people do not die in the lake. The bodies always come to the lake.
Yeah, only the little kid.
She drags the figment into the
lake. Yeah, but she doesn't drag them. She holds like hair.
She holds them like it's.
Well, you know,
I mean, I'm agreeing. I pointed it out because I called him a pussy.
Brian,
and he is. And
Mike Flanagan told her to keep to drag her into the house, though. So
what is Mike Flanagan, though? I'm kidding.
Also,
to the pod, Mike. big fan. We appreciate it.
Also, really quick, I don't know when this wants to get brought up, but I just want to ask. She goes every couple of weeks from the lake to the bedroom to the lake. The parents are there for the summers for however many years with the kids. She ever walk in on them and they're just like, oh shit, what's up, lady of the lake? Like,
yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, or just come back from their vacation and be like, what's these muddy footprints coming to our goddamn marital bed?
You're right. I got nothing.
People never really investigated that. They just accepted, the kids are
it made me so upset because
every
now
2 weeks they do this.
Now that we know that Hannah wasn't ghost woke and she didn't realize she was dead, now that makes me more upset that she just kept dealing with one set of footprints, adult footprints, every 2 weeks for the whole freaking summer.
We can just say that Jamie is an unreliable narrator and she told a story that doesn't make quite as much sense.
Yes, that's how you clean up all the plot.
It's good. Yeah.
We're good. This show is flawless.
It's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue with this. Mrs. Gross is standing in the path of the Lady of the Lake, dragging Danny, and is trying to muster up the courage to yell, like, stop at her, and she's trying to confront this ghost, but the Lady of the Lake just phases right through her, literally phases through her, like a ghost could do. And just keeps on going.
Yeah, she's Hannah's like, whoa, baby.
Yeah, she's in Terminator mode. Not much is going to stop her. But the lady in the lake keeps dragging Danny up the steps of the foyer.
Flora's screaming her head off, trying to save Danny at this point.
I do want to say that Paul was right and called this on our 7-8 episode. He called that the way that Danny was going to get saved is that Flora was going to show herself and Viola was going to think it was Isabel. He called that straight up.
So we're going with Viola?
Viola. I called her Viola the entire episode yesterday, and now I'm calling her Viola.
V.
Oh, that's what we settled on. We actually did settle on it. Well, it was Theola for a while, and then V.
Wow, that's so good. I like that.
Theola.
Flora is being so motherfucking brave here. When she hops on the bed and is, like, looking at her being like, no, please stop, please.
Yeah.
And Danny hits the ground like a ton of bricks. I mean, she drops her from just neck, waist-high neck, bops her. Flora's being brave. Theola takes Flora like she took the little boy sweetly instead of being like, you're dead. And then slowly walks her all the way out to the water.
I would rather get my neck snapped than drown in the lake, though.
1,000%. Do we want to attribute the fact that Theola not recognized Flora, but had that reaction, and it was slightly different than when she saw Figment because Flora was a girl and that was a daughter? Because when she saw Figment,
we didn't see what she saw when she saw the Figment. Like, when she saw the little boy, she just saw the little boy. We didn't see what she was seeing through her eyes. We get to see that in
she
this.
She doesn't even have eyes.
That is so true.
But at that point, I think she had
the
half eyes.
I think she had the freaking scariest.
She wasn't even completely faded away.
That
kind
of makes sense then. because she expected, no, at that point she said she expected to see a child, but she couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took it. So you're right. I mean, she shouldn't even be able to see Isabel, but it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, but it's whatever. So that's not something I'm worrying about.
I like that she starts singing the Oh Willow Whaley song, and then it morphs into her like humming it like a monster because mm-hmm. she doesn't have a fucking mouth, just like Perdita did earlier. Mm-hmm.
What if Flora shushed her?
Shh. Now that we know that Perdita, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Is she just always laying there in the attic? We
talked about how devastating of a fate that is.
My
like
God.
She's literally just fucking.
She do be
we
sideways.
Had a battle yesterday. It was me on Perdita's side and those two on. Just me being in defense of Perdita.
I love that twist that it was Perdita. That was such a good reveal for me.
Oh yeah.
Didn't talk about it for the last episode, but that was fantastic.
It was awesome. So when they're walking out, they make it out of Bly Manor and they pass Rebecca Jessel as a ghost, obviously, and Peter in Miles, not a ghost. Peter's in Miles is being a dick and is like, I gave you your freedom and you let it go, like blah blah blah. Classic.
Flora, meanwhile, is calling out for Miss Jessel to help her. I guess she knows that Miles / Peter just wouldn't, and just knows that Jessel is her only friend.
She
right
says
now.
Miles too.
Does
she says Miss Jessel's Miles, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't hear her say Miss Miles.
I have a quick question.
Miss Miles. Miss Miles.
Quick question. This might be called, well, I don't know. But so what is the difference between when Peter and Miles mix after he lets him in and is essentially going to walk off the property, right? Like that's the plan that they're one. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between that and when Rebecca Jessel let him in when she was alive? Could she not have walked off the property with him?
That's what I was thinking. Because if that was the case, why didn't he just not drown her and walk off the property?
Yeah.
I think it's because he wanted his own body. That's the only rationale I can come up with, is that he was so selfish that he wanted both of them to have their own bodies.
Exactly.
And their
fates
would be completely the same.
That's what I would have said.
Like no matter what, they would have to be in equal position, like their fates would be tied.
We'll get to it because we never got to see someone do the until Danny did the it's you, it's me, it's us, whatever. And she was driving off Bly Manor. I'm like, don't get rejected. Don't get rejected.
No,
like, I thought her body was just going to be like thrown out the window.
I thought she was
going
to get stuck. That was what I thought was going to be her ending.
Bly in the rear view. I was like, no. And then they cut to the diner and I was like, thank the fucking Christ.
I was almost 99% expecting her to get stuck.
Just yeet her out the fucking.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then it's Viola in Danny's body being like,
what's good?
But we have the Lady of the Lake continuing on her warpath to the lake, and Henry arrives. He drives a car up the driveway.
Hammer drunk.
Truly.
Sees Flora and Lady of the Lake walking past the chapel and immediately runs towards them. Flora is calling for her Uncle Henry to help. Henry goes up and confronts the Lady in the Lake. And that was a bad idea for Henry because he gets immediately yeeted.
Like it ain't no
thing. I was convinced that was death.
Yeah. Me too. And I was like, that's his storyline.
Yep.
Yeah.
I almost would have been fine with that.
Me too.
Exciting.
Only because the minute it happens and he's standing there watching over his body, he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It was almost comedy.
Yeah.
It was well done, I think. I really liked that. I mean, I'm glad at the end what actually happened, but I liked that part.
I'm definitely a little upset that Smiley was not involved at all in this ending. His ghost, or not his ghost, his like psychological, the Smiley version.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It didn't really matter.
That was Hugh.
It was his guilt.
Hugh and Hot Mama.
And that also gets into the narrator being, the narrator being just
taking
telling the
creative
story.
Liberties.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Henry's dead, so it would seem for now. And at this point in the episode, I think we were all convinced that was it, but he's just dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I thought, okay, maybe his ghost will have something to say. Mm-hmm. Cool. But
yeah.
I did not think his body was leaving that place.
Meanwhile, we go back to the front yard of Bly, and Jamie and Owen are arriving on the scene. They both simultaneously this night had horrible nightmares and just both felt compelled to drive to Bly. They knew something was up. They could just feel it. And Hannah's like, oh no, why are you guys here? Like, not tonight. But then she says, they need you at the lake. So they start rushing down.
This is the last, besides when Hannah's talking to Henry, like this is the last time Owen gets to actually see her, which is so sad because she's just like, go, hurry. Like they didn't even get a goodbye, which is really sad to me.
So as we continue, we have the Lady of the Lake is taking Flora, starting to wade actually into the water, holding Flora, and Miss Jessel is following behind in tow. And my notes here just say, I love this Miss Jessel scene, how she is just so nurturing and comforting. I have the quote. She says, I'll feel it for you. I'll just tuck you away one last time. Go ahead, love. You let me handle this part. Just let me in.
So on one hand, RJ knows what it feels like to get drowned. Like, Peter left her to face that love. And the fact that she's willing to do it for Flora, too, is really sweet. But at the same time, you kind of owe her this. Well, You've got her into this. Okay, like, you do owe her this a little bit.
So let me ask you a question.
Didn't make it any less sweet. And I did shed a tear at this point because it was sad. But come on, RJ.
Let me ask you a question about our nurturer, Miss Jessel. At what point do you think she was actually going against Peter? If she was going with the plan at all, then I don't like
her. I think as soon as they start bringing the kids into it, she's probably like, no.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because that's the plan the whole time.
She didn't know the specifics of the plan, I think. And then as it was being carried out, she started understanding what it would entail. And
I mean,
she couldn't get out of it right away and be like, Peter, we're not doing this, because Peter's a sociopath. It would be dangerous. But she was against it, I think, once she found out that it would damage the kids.
Okay.
That's where my head's at.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I just thought, she knows that he sandbagged her. She knows that he doesn't have any good intentions. So I just feel like, I mean, we already know that there's a toxic relationship and she loved him and this and that. And it was hard. It's hard to get away from him. But I took it as she was, that's the problem. I didn't know exactly when she switched to the kid's side, or she never was on Peter's side, because if she was ever on Peter's side, then I just don't like her.
I don't know if it's one of those things where she kind of had to go with it to protect Flora, because if she's like,
I'm
not on you, blah, 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 then he can just wreak havoc. But as long as she's around, she can kind of monitor Peter.
So did you
she
guys
can just toss him aside?
And did you guys talk about in the last episodes at all, like, that we find out that she is possessing Flora at times?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you think that she was possessing her when she needed to, like, keep her safe? Or
see, that's a good question. I had to rewatch again for my third rewatch.
It's a lot harder to tell when she's being possessed. The only one I definitely know is when she's singing at the lake in the very first episode.
Ooh.
And she says, what song?
This is a little argument we got into yesterday, a fun one. In episode 7, when Flora is talking to Danny when she's tied up and she says, you couldn't hear her, but she told me to pretend. Do you think Rebecca was in her? Or do you think Rebecca just, like, disappeared herself so Danny couldn't see her? See, I was wrong there.
Otherwise, why would she have to tell her to pretend? Because Miss Jessel
would just
do the actions. Yeah. There would be no pretending, because it would be Miss Jessel.
I didn't know that the ghosts could be like, okay, I'm going to turn your vision on and your vision off. I'm going to make it so Brian can see me and Luke cannot. Like, that's just weird. So I assume that she was like, I'm going to take over your body. But we're not going to do the, this is, it's you, it's me, it's us. We're going to do the, I'm just going to take you over for like a hot second and just, and pretend like I'm taking you over for
forever.
But we
already know that when that happens, they don't remember. The person being possessed doesn't know what's going on.
During it.
So meaning when she has the conversation with Danny and says, she told me to pretend.
I took the pretend as the, it's you, it's me, it's us, not the. Not to pretend as
pretending
I'm
you're possessed.
Yes.
So the other thing that is interesting now that you say that, going back a little bit, is I assume that if you're being visible, you have to be visible to everybody, because why else would Danny see Miss Jessel on the bed? Because
we talked about that I was on that episode, but I think I'm going to contradict myself and say that they can selectively choose.
No, I disagree.
She's
think,
like, beep, bop, 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 count settings.
I think it was, it might
ghost
have,
mode.
It might have been 5-6 when we talked about it, but I think that it was a directorial decision to make her stand in positions where only Flora could see her when we were seeing her on the screen. And there was never situations where Danny and her would have been looking at her if she was there. So I think it was purposeful. And as the ghost, you know, how we saw Peter kind of grow and learn to use quote unquote ghost abilities, they learned to do those kind of things. So
yeah, but there is a situation where, now that I'm thinking about it, where they're talking about Peter when she's saying, have you ever let Peter in the house? They're showing Danny's back shoulder and Flora's looking over it, and it's showing us behind Danny and she's not there. Miss Jessel.
That confused me when you said that.
Okay, but they didn't need to show the audience. But I'm saying if Danny turned around in the moment that Flora was looking over the shoulder, that it would have been there, because that would have ruined the twist.
Okay.
That's just how I see it. But again, it's kind of up for interpretation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we also decided that it really has no effect on the plot of this TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was just
I just wanted to know what you thought. I like that people interpret things differently. It's cool. Okay, so yeah, it's the first time that in this episode that we get the it's you, it's me, it's us. And it's so sweet. She lets RJ in and Flora gets tucked away into a memory with Charlotte in bed. It's so sweet. They're just hugging. It's cute that you get one little last Charlotte memory because I really liked Charlotte. I wish we got more background on her. She seemed cool.
For what it's worth, I like Dominic as well. Thought he was a well-written character.
Me too.
Mm,
shit-eating grin.
Owen and Jamie kind of are running towards the lake, obviously, and they run past Henry's dead body. And really quick, they make the split decision. Owen, you're going to stay and do CPR. Jamie's going to continue ahead to run to the lake, see what's up there. Then we get this hot mama voiceover. Owen tried to breathe life into Henry, who hovered between life and death. Soon, Flora would find herself dream hopping endlessly at Bly, and it would have all gone that way had not the au pair, in that critical moment, said what she said. Something she did not entirely understand, but something she felt in her bones. She had to try. And that's where we get Danny wading into the lake and screaming at the lady in the lake, it's you, it's me, and it's us. Wow, can't believe I fucked up the quote. It's you, it's me, it's us. And Viola does a full 180 and turns back at Danny. And they just have this like really long staring contest where it's with you, it's me, eyes. And us. It's going on in the background.
Two eyes between them.
And it's a little celestial. And then we go back to Owen doing CPR. And that was a scene.
Yeah, it's a very kind of beautiful moment where Viola turns around. She's like, are you sure? Like, are you really gonna do this?
No one's ever best friends.
No one's ever let me in before. Before we go any further, Danny and Jamie's actresses just carried this whole series, I think. I mean, God, and I mean they're all amazing, but especially this episode specifically. I mean, what Danny all the time, Jamie in the end scenes, my fucking God. I mean, just dealing with Danny, fucking hell. Victoria Pedretti.
Hot Mama
girl.
Jamie as well. Karen.
Hot Mama Jamie.
I'm going to be real with you. I think the acting was carried by the kids. Flora and Miles killed it. Flora killed it.
Sidebar. Speaking of Flora, we're going to get my goddaughter Remy to watch this show because Flora plays Peppa Pig. That was her only.
Oh, yeah, I know. Big.
Let's get Remy to watch this show.
I thought for some reason that was going to. I didn't know where that was going. I was like, why are we having our 3-year-old niece watch Blind Manor?
Because of Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig. Yeah.
So the next thing that happens is we flash back to Henry's dead body and Owen's resuscitating him. And before that actually goes through and works, we have Henry's ghost talking to Hannah. And this is where Hannah realizes it's pretty much her last opportunity to tell Henry anything she wants to say to Owen. And what is it she says? Did someone have the quote?
When he checks the well, please tell Owen I'm sorry. Tell him I love him. And the rest is, well, it's just. And then blanks out. Do you think she was going to say confetti? I lost my mind at that part. I was like, say confetti. Ah! That's a Hill House reference for anyone who doesn't get that. Brian Mr. looks Dave. Like he doesn't get that.
No, I get it. I just didn't think it until right now. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, do you think rest that's where is they were just, 100%. They had so love many that. Parallels. Whether it's just a phrase or whatever it is, they did it on purpose.
That's
and
awesome.
I love
that
I
was
love
like Rebecca. My favorite Hill House scene is Nell like breaking it down for him at the end.
But Rebecca does have a slight little scene right before that she says, do you feel that? Because they can tell like the curse is being lifted or whatever it is. Hurt the gravity. Yeah, baby.
And I loved the transitional scene of it going throughout all of Bly Manor and quickly going to each of the ghosts.
Yeah, it shows the plague doctor is there and then it passes a beam and then he's not there anymore. And it just addresses all the ghosts at the manor, you know, and it does a good job at that. We have Peter sincerely apologizing to Miles, who doesn't say a goddamn thing back. Doesn't owe him shit at this point.
I wouldn't either. I'd be like,
neither would I.
Yeah.
Peter probably knows he's so in the wrong, but just wanted to show some sort of remorse. Like, I don't think Peter was like an evil guy to his core. He was just kind of a crook.
He was a weird character, man. They gave him the backstory with the bad father, and then also the mom blackmailing him. So you have sympathy for him, but then also he's been a piece of shit the whole time. If they would have just not have him do the possession thing with Rebecca, then he might have been a little bit better to me. That whole scene with the
killing her.
No, well, that, but I'm talking about the whole thing before when he was like, you licked his batter.
Oh,
and you,
batter. And
that was the worst scene.
Wait.
Yeah, that totally.
Yeah, that was awful.
So, like, if you just made him actually love her, then he would have had something.
And he does. He's just possessive, and he's just one of those fucking
possessive
toxic masculinity, baby. Yeah. Ever heard of it?
I just.
Anyway, so you get to see all the ghosts. They're going through. Henry's alive, et cetera, et cetera. Danny is absolutely glitching out at this point. She's just saying, it's us, it's us, it's us. Close up to her face. Jamie's like, oh, you're good. I got you. But it's a lot. For sure.
So another this hot is, mama over voice. Do you have this?
I love it. I write it as over voice every time because of you.
I do. So we have a couple things happening while this voiceover is going on. But it goes, the au pair invited Viola into herself, and the invitation had been accepted. In that instant, the spell that Viola had cast over Bly was broken, and all of the spirits trapped in her gravity were released. We get, you know, Henry kind of comforting the kids, and Owen and Jamie finally visit Miss Gross in the well, so Owen gets that closure and confirmation. The voiceover continues. The next day, Owen assisted five men from town while they gently lifted the housekeeper's body from the well. It was assumed she died accidentally, an unfortunate stumble. In the days that followed, a calm settled over Bly. And we get kind of people just settling into their normal routines following all this haunting BS, you know?
Henry is back in Bly Manor. He's given the kids the sort of uncle parent treatment.
Yeah.
He's accepted that he's their guardian, but he always was. Is he just over the banishment?
Yeah.
It's pure guilt. His doppelganger is absolutely pure guilt of his brother and the love of his life dying because of him, basically. Like the only reason they went on that trip is because of him. And
but my question is, why is the guilt gone?
Because they need someone to take care of them at this point, I think.
I think he
is them really in need. He said, do not call me unless someone is dying or whatever.
Well,
unless just happened to be.
I count it as he went back to Bly. He confronted his demons, if you will. Like, he addressed the family issues through the kids, who are his only living.
Didn't help much in the situation.
Well, he gave his life.
Didn't kind help of. Much.
I took it as the moment was when he finally picked up the phone and called and it was dead. And he said, I'm driving.
Hey, you know what? He did help, because if you remember, the lady in the lake was like that close to being completely submerged.
Wouldn't have been able to hear Danny.
Yeah, my hands are very close together for those of you at home that can't see. And had he not sacrificed himself for that extra 10 seconds of getting yeeted, they would have been under the water.
That's so true, Tags.
So quick question.
To the bank.
Yeah. Do we just attribute the phone not ringing and it being cut and forcing Henry to drive to Bly Manor as just the Bly's essence pulling him back to this final fight, quote unquote?
Come
why
home, Henry.
Why was the phone not ringing? That never got an answer.
I still think there's a good amount of stuff that didn't get answered.
I don't really care. There were not to like belittle that. Well, I just am like,
Was like half his storyline for the entire season was calling them and
I would be okay with that, because we touched on that Jamie and Owen showed up just because they had a dream and a feeling about it. So yes, I think there is some pool.
Also, Owen did it earlier in the season when he showed up after his mom's funeral just because he had a feeling. Remember, he was driving.
Yeah.
100%. So as we continue, like Luke said, we have Henry embracing this new guardian role, this hands-on, more parenting, more than uncle approach to the kids. And the voiceover from Hot Mama continues. It's more about Owen this time. After the housekeeper's body was taken from the well, some in the village said that the cook rode with her all the way to the coroner, and there he insisted on cleaning her himself, which he managed with a soft towel, soap scented with lavender, and the greatest of care. He stayed at her side until she was buried, and he loved her the whole way. I'm told, and I believe, that he loves her still.
Mm.
While he is lighting a candle for her in the chapel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was tearing up at this scene. This, like, I just really liked Owen and Mrs. Gross.
Loved.
And they were not the love story of this, but
The piece there that I love is, I'm told, and I believe that he loves her still.
That's Jamie. You know, it carries some weight coming from Jamie.
Honestly, brave of him. You know what? This is kind of a nod to his iZombie character because he was a coroner in iZombie, so it makes sense. But him cleaning a weeks old dead body is Icktown City.
I was just shaking my head when you were telling that quote or saying that quote because Haunting series just like Cheryl had to clean.
Also,
up.
Who would ever let him do that? Who? Yeah. That's not allowed.
He's just like, let me in. I want a cleaner, man. Just let me clean her.
He's like, sir, please leave. But I do love that voiceover. It's so sweet. This next transition is Danny. She's super zoned out. Great acting by
focusing on her multicolored eyes now.
Yeah, our girl, Notorious VIP. Wait, she had multicolored eyes at this point?
Are you kidding me? Yeah,
I didn't notice them.
So they focused on it.
Stupid idiot?
Ever since Theola joins her, she has two different color eyes for the rest of the season.
I'm so stupid.
Oh my gosh.
For the record, the first time I watched it was on a phone, and the second time I watched it was through tears in my eyes.
I was watching with my roommate, and I was like, dumb question, but she hasn't always had two different colored eyes, has she? He's like, nah, dude.
I half expected when I said that you guys were going to be like, she fucking had that since the first episode. So
nah. I'm like, she didn't have eyes at all, did she? Jamie and Danny's acting here is fucking amazing. And Jamie's kind of saying, are you okay? Because Danny's so zoned out. Danny has this voiceover, not voiceover. She literally says it. I feel her in here. So quiet, not peaceful, et cetera, et cetera. It's really
a lot
sad.
Of the symbolism that links up with the name of the episode, The Beast in the Jungle.
Yep.
Just talking about how she's going to take me eventually. She's waiting in whatever she says. She says,
I'm walking through this dense, overgrown jungle and I can't really see anything except the path in front of me. But I know there's this thing hidden, this angry, empty, lonely beast. It's watching me. And this is my favorite part, matching my movements, because it's literally inside of her just being her and like biding its time and waiting to take over.
Jamie does her best to comfort her. And I think she did a noble job.
That pinky swear? Come on.
I love you.
Do you want, company?
While you wait for your beast in the jungle.
I love her.
Yeah, I really love these two.
From here on out, Jamie is absolutely down for all the weirdness Danny has to offer, which is insane and amazing. At some point, it starts to get a little bit on the selfish side of Jamie, which I do not blame her for. Just in the way, like when they're in the bathtub scene, and Danny's like, I am not myself. I don't even feel like myself. And Jamie's like, not yet, not yet. And that's, of course, right before Danny actually bounces. Not in a blameful, selfish way. I just think that Jamie just loved her so fucking much that she's like, I'm down for anything you got to throw at me. And we'll get there because the next 30 minutes of television is all Danny and Jamie, which I will live in for the rest of my life.
So before it's just Danny and Jamie, though, we do get Danny and Jamie saying goodbye to Henry and the kids for the last time at Bly. And everybody's going to America. Henry is taking the kids to America. Danny and Jamie are going to America at first, but they don't really know what their plan is. They want to travel and go on an adventure. Flora gives Danny back the talisman of her, which
so
I love.
Cute.
Yeah, so cute.
You must have it.
And Henry has this really good quote. He says, I don't know how I can ever thank you talking to Danny. I'm just so goddamned lucky, aren't I? Like, where would we be, we wretched people, without the generosity of our betters?
And luck. Yeah. I loved that. Us wretched people. I'm like, yeah, I'm there. I'm wretched.
And then we get Jamie and Danny in their car about to pull out. Jamie hits her with a, you all right, Poppins? I love Poppins. The best toy nickname. For a significant other.
And this is where I thought she was going to get yeeted out of the car. I was so scared. Were you guys scared at all?
It wasn't even a thought in my
mind. I
thought there was going to be a chance, but because of the way that they had the camera, like it definitely was misleading. I think they did that on purpose. And they could have ended it like that, but
there's always the metaphor of like leaving Bly Manor in your rearview mirror. Like, we're getting out of here. And that's what they did. But I was like, she's about to get yeeted. But this is cool because this is the first time we see somebody get fully converged with somebody else in the it's you, it's me, it's us thing and leave the premises. So we know that that is possible because I was not sure. So I like that confirmation.
And we know now that she lifted the haunting or whatever, the spell, when they went together. So I think that's part of it too.
What do you mean when they went together? He already did that in the voiceover. That the gravity, like the
right. So the you, the me, it's us. Yeah. Like all the ghosts go away. So I think that has to do with the fact that's why she can leave with the ghost in her. So I'm not even sure that if Miles and Flora were Miss Jessel and Peter, that they could have just walked out while the lady was still alive.
I disagree with that. I think Peter knew. Peter was only so confident in the plan because he knew it would work.
But there's also there's also the angle where maybe Peter was doing it so him and Jessel could just have a permanent body on Bly Manor that they can touch and be people.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like that.
I mean, that's going off your point.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not just saying they're
just little
siblings.
Yeah, that is so fucked up.
Hang out.
Yeah, no, that's what exactly. I took it like that too. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. I guess there's a couple ways you can interpret that.
Yeah, because we never get a real answer because by the time someone leaves with a possession, the curse is already broken.
Okay, fair enough. I always interpreted that they would have been able to leave, but I always thought that was the difference between just possessing someone and the it's you, it's me, it's us. Like, that's the whole thing, but maybe not.
Yeah, who knows? All right, so our next scene is we're going to finally go to America.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
And we have Jamie and Danny eating in a diner, talking. This seems to take place weeks to a month after the Bly incident. Mm-hmm.
And they drove all the way to America.
Yeah, just
it took weeks.
Whipped it over there.
Whipped it right over the fucking Pacific Atlantic.
They start talking and Jamie is bringing up the idea of what they're going to do for Christmas. And the way that Jamie's talking about it, it's implied that it's a couple months down the road. Danny is basically having PTSD from having Theola trapped inside her. So she doesn't want to think about it like that. She's taking it, as Jamie goes on to say, day by day.
Right.
Because she doesn't know when this whole thing could blow up and she could just lose her entire mind.
Yep.
So that's going to be the whole dynamic that their relationship's based on from here on out.
Oh, yeah. One day at a time is the theme. And she says, as long as those days are with you, Poppins, one day at a time is all we've got. It's what everybody's got when it comes down to
it. That's a damn big sacrifice to make for Flora and Miles just to not remember Jamie and Danny ever again, pretty much.
Well, we'll get to that. I want to deep dive into that. Now we get this really, really sweet montage, and you find out it's 1 year down the line. Like they say, days turn to months. Now it's 1 year. They're at this flower shop. Sweet, sweet Jamie gets her a moonflower. Oh, you better stop with that moonflower. And she has this quote that's fucking amazing. And I was seeing this quote on memes from The Haunting, and I was like, I cannot wait for that line to hit. So I already knew it was coming because I follow every single haunting, everything. But she says, I've got a problem, or rather, we've got a problem, Poppins. And Danny's face is like, oh, no, what? Like, it's almost like she knew she was going to say something sweet. And then she says, you see, I'm not sick of you at all. I'm actually pretty in love with you, it turns out. And I'm like, the face on Danny after she says that. And then we get really cute kissing. They go in the back. My chest is like bursting with this scene. I love it.
Can you imagine if Kathleen wasn't on this episode?
I was just going to say, we have a female Potter.
We would just say, so they hook up, a couple years pass.
The bang, the bang.
The bang, the bang, the bang, the bang, 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 bang. So we get a voiceover. 1 year became 2, 3, 4, 5 years would pass, and there was peace. This love, love, love montage kind of ends with them snugging in bed. It's really cute. There's another voiceover that says, at long last, deep within the au pair's heart, there was peace. That peace held for years, which was more than some of us ever get. And then it's straight. So you're supposed to assume, like, it's years later, she's bopping around having a normal day, and she's about to go into the flower shop, and she sees Theola's reflection in the window, and then it disappears, and she could see Jamie just like smiling so big. And Danny kind of, she takes it in stride. I'm glad we're past the days where every time she would see specs in a mirror, she just screamed her face off.
She's got like some bad luck reflections, man.
I know, exactly. And it's supposed to be a one big metaphor, but
yeah,
I could keep going. If
do
you
what
want
you gotta
me to.
Do because.
Do you have anything to say about?
No,
what's happening?
I wanted to break you up because I know you're gonna probably take the. You should probably take the proposal scene. So that's why I was thinking where to chime in, but there's nothing that fucking happens.
Yeah, it's one big montage.
I really like the. So the next is Danny and Jamie in the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And Danny moseys in. I love how this is probably just the dynamic of who she is as a person. And Jamie, she says, "I found this plant on the street and I wanted to save it." Jamie's like, "Give it here, Poppins. Like, let me take a look." And she digs through the dirt and there's a ring in the roots. And do you have what she says?
Of Of course I do. But I just like it because to me it was more that, are you saying that's Danny's personality to want to save a plant?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm saying Danny purposely did that because Jamie's a gardener and that's what she does. So she's like,
well,
yeah,
it was the added thing.
Oh, totally.
Danny's the more nurturing, kind of motherly of the two, I would say. And she's the gardener.
Yeah. I mean, it makes Jamie's face light right up when she's like, give it here. Like, she's trying to be sassy about it, but she's like, I'll save the fucking plant. Yeah,
see if you can salvage the sauce.
So, yeah. So, because she's shite at cooking still. How many years have I been in this kitchen? I'm still shite at cooking. Okay. So she pulls the ring out and she's kind of confused and turns to Danny. And Danny says, here's the thing.
Danny, why is there?
Here's the thing. You're my best friend. And I love my life. And I don't know how much time we have left. But however much it is, I want to spend it with you. And I know we can't technically get married, but I also don't really care. We can wear the rings and we'll know. Okay? And that's enough for me. If it's enough for you.
I reckon that's enough for me.
Jamie is just like, beaming. This acting is perfect. I need someone to say, you're my best friend and I love my life to me.
I did not envision such a happy moment back when I think it's the second night after the Jamie and Danny hook up. And B-Times, I know you mentioned it when we were talking about the episode. Danny was going to ask Jamie to stay another night at Bly. And she said, not tonight. There's many nights to come. Mm-hmm. And what your comment was that scared you. You thought haunting was going to happen and there was not going to be many more nights. How could you picture that 5 years later, we're here in this moment, the proposal happens?
Unbelievable. I did not think we were going to get this.
No. This whole time when we get we refer to it as the epilogue, I just keep thinking to myself, all right, I'm glad like Jamie and Danny are okay and they're happy and they're in love, but like someone's got to get freaking haunted. Yeah. I need some more haunting.
I liked the slow burn of this haunting. I mean, think about it. So when we got The Haunting of Hill House, the epilogue for that was 2 minutes long. It was one song's worth of a voiceover with Luke on his 2-year soberversary and all these different mm-hmm. things. We don't know where they're at. What the fuck are the cranes doing? I don't know. But we got years and years and years and years of these people.
Only
I thought that
two.
Was incredible.
Well, I guess Owen. But really, we don't get anything about Miles and Flora. We just know Flora's getting married.
What do you mean we don't get anything? I mean, we don't get anything about Miles. We get a lot. Flora's old actress had an amazing scene. That was like a lit-ass scene.
But you don't know. All you know is she gets married.
All you know is that she's completely fucking
normal.
American.
Adorable and in love.
She's
so
in
love.
I would say
we'll
that's,
get to it.
I would say that's kind of the point. Like, Flora and Miles are pretty well removed from all the other main characters of the story.
So Danny's sacrifice was worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
That's this next scene coming up. So just to get back to the proposal really quick, you can tell that when they're hugging, Jamie is so over the moon and Danny is obviously happy too, but she looks worried. Like she's like,
she knows
it's the end is near. Then we flash to, and I'm going to let one of the boys take over because I've been talking for 10 minutes straight, A Batter Place.
All right off the bat, I love the name of the restaurant. It's so Owen. It's the dad jokes. It's an homage to Hannah. I just love every second of it. It's Jamie and Danny visiting Owen's newly opened restaurant, A Batter Place. And he's just saying, like, I remember how badly it got her, referencing the dad jokes, until she would finally have to laugh. And nothing was better than that woman's laugh.
It's just...
confirming Owen is still, always has been, in love with Hannah, and I love that ship. But they start shifting the conversation to talking about Henry, Miles, and Flora. Owen says that they visited within the past year. They visited him at the new restaurant on their holiday and says that Flora came with her boyfriend, who she's absolutely smitten with.
We think
they're gonna be the two that get married. And it's also revealed that
that just hit me right now.
Yeah, it hit me on the second.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a completely different boyfriend. Everyone at 17 smitten with their boyfriend.
They totally would not. Yeah.
I mean, they took him to fucking across the pond for an adventure. So.
But she's like 17 or 18.
That's to bring your boyfriend on a vacation across to Europe is a big old step.
This conversation did a lot for me in terms of how we're going to talk about the series as a whole. It really was needed because of all the wedding scenes we're going to get at the end of this episode, at how Flora and Miles, Owen goes on to say, do not remember anything supernatural about Bly Manor.
Yeah.
They remember it roughly as the summer home that they would go
so
to.
So I do have the quote.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Okay. So they recognize Hannah's picture, but only as the woman who stayed there with them sometimes. The details and specific moments and fear that we thought would eat away at them has just faded away. All that's left is the shape of it. Bly was their summer home. They used to live there when they were children. And that's the extent of which they recall their time at Bly. They don't remember any of the horrific stuff, you know?
I love that because I've only been on two of these episodes, but I'm thinking when they show Flora seeing Rebecca Jessel scream as a ghost at her dead body in the water, I'm like, how are you not the most fucked up human? And not to keep comparing to Hill House, but Nell and Luke did not have the luxury of forgetting their entire childhood was, and they died. Well, Luke didn't die for it, but they suffered greatly for it. Yeah. Nell died for it. It's such an interesting, sweet turn that this took, that the kids do not remember it, but the adults do, which is fine. But the fact that the kids don't remember it is incredible.
And
I
want to say that that has to be chalked up to this essence of Bly itself, like being supernatural reason that they don't remember.
That's
it, right?
What I was going to ask.
Like, as long as we're on that page, because if not, then the show sucks.
Right. So it's you. Yeah. It's you. It's me. It's us. The spell's lifted and now the kids don't remember. Is that where we're at?
It doesn't have to be specifically that, but yes,
I mean, I still think there's problems with it because why do they remember Owen? Just because they went to visit him?
Well, that's what they say. They say that they don't even really remember Hannah. They just
recognize
her. So it's not like that they're remembering her personality. I don't know.
So I'm saying, why would they even, I mean, unless Henry's like, let's go visit Owen. They're just like, who's this guy? I kind of remember him. Just but Owen and Hannah should be the same. Hannah saw them more.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. This part doesn't really add up. And
yeah,
I think it's best to just chalk it up to the supernaturalness of the house. Maybe kids just burying some recessed memories. Like,
it might not be super clean, but if they didn't put this in, this show would have been terrible.
Yeah.
The adults bear it so the kids don't have to.
Yeah.
But okay. So in this scene, Danny does see the reflection of Viola in the water jug, which freaks her out kind of for the rest of the dinner. And Jamie notices it, which is a good transition into the next scene when they're back in the kitchen. And Jamie's kind of like, we gonna talk about this? Because I can tell you're off, like something's off here. And Danny's kind of not saying anything. She's doing the dishes, looks down in the reflection and sees V and drops the plate. And it is like,
At this point, I was starting to feel so sad for Jamie.
Yeah.
Because I knew the route that this was going to go. It was pretty obvious since the first time she saw the reflection, but it was starting to heat up and escalate very quickly. And I knew at this point we probably had one or two more scenes max with them being happy. So I was just kind of sitting back, just hoping for the best.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was on the lower end of that one or two scenes, because the exact next scene we have Jamie coming in with their civil union papers. So their union is officially civil. But the bathroom is flooding and Jamie runs in to find Danny just staring at an overfilled bathtub and, you know, staring back at Viola's reflection. And it's just sad. Danny is really just withering away and she's not doing so hot.
Yeah, Danny is fading away. She says, I see you in front of me. I feel you touching me. And every day we're living our lives. And I'm aware of that, but I don't feel it all the way. And she's even saying to the point where she's like, I'm not scared of her even anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of, it's just getting harder and harder to see me. I'm just waiting for her to take it over. Maybe I should just let it.
Yeah, she says,
which
maybe
is
I should
dark.
Just accept that. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's telling her, you know, keep on fighting. If you can't feel anything, then I'll all feel for the both of us. But nobody's going anywhere. Like, not today. Then there's a pause and Danny hits her with something that would freak me the fuck out. She says, what if I'm sitting here next to you, but I'm really just her?
Like, stop.
Yeah,
that completely manifests partially in the next scene.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Jamie does say one day at a time, which I like. They keep repeating that one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Poppins.
I'm so sad.
And
yeah,
Luke, do you want to take us
sure,
to the next scene?
Later that night, it's presumed, they are peacefully asleep in each other's arms. And you knew it was coming when it started focusing on Danny's eyes. And it got closer and closer. And she basically just opens her... Does she have a flash? Or does she open her eyes and she's basic, and she's in the same position that Hot Mama from Hill House young Hugh is, where she without the screwdriver
eyes, but you kind of see her like shift in bed. It's almost like when Ted like takes on the Blitz in the bed when he's like sleeping, not at all like that, but like she kind of,
I don't know,
like,
is that like
not Mary Mother?
Oh, I thought you were talking making a Ted reference, like the bear.
The Blitz, yeah. I hope we have a lot of an audience that watches Himyam.
No,
I digress. The gentleman. What were we even talking about?
Danny wakes up almost with her hand around Jamie's throat.
Oh, what I wanted to say was there was a flash to someone's arm coming through the water to Jamie's neck. Jamie.
Yeah.
So whose POV is that?
I think it's V's POV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Breaking through to finally take control of Danny.
Gotcha. Yep. That's what that metaphor was.
And Danny realizes right away that Jamie's safety is now compromised just by being around her, because in the last scene when she said I could just be her at any moment, that moment is happening right in that second.
And right on cue we get our Hot Mama voiceover. The au pair knew the moment had come. The beast had lurked indeed, and the beast at its hour had sprung, and she could not risk the most important thing, her most important person, not for one more day. And so the gardener found herself back at Bly Manor one last time.
Oh, baby. She is marching to that water. Dives in. She's swimming and swimming and sees Danny in this hot black dress. All of a sudden, she's in a hot black dress. Like, come on,
girl. She's the new lady in the lake.
Love it. She's screaming. She's doing the you, me, us screaming. It's so fucking sad. She's trying. And I love this voiceover.
The gardener said the words she'd heard those years ago. She willed it with everything she had. You, me, us, us. Take me with you, she cried in her heart. Take me, drag me down like you did the others. But the lady in the lake was different now. The lady in the lake was also Danny. And Danny wouldn't. Danny would never. In fact, no one would ever be taken again. And no one has been taken to this day.
I've been thinking about the water in the first scene of episode one with Hot Mama for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm pissed that even at this part, I was just starting for it to click.
Right.
I can't believe we didn't recognize it when Danny was seeing it all. Did you pick up on it earlier this episode?
I did. I only picked it up because I think I was the one who was saying it in the first episode of the pod, so I just wanted to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of just like thinking.
You did snipe that. Yeah. You said it was going to mean something. And it totally did.
So our girl, Danny, took on the burden of being the new lady in the lake, and V is still in her as well, but she's kind of bogging her down. Do you think like they're both in there together, but because Danny is taking control, she's not being evil.
So they say in the voiceover that Danny's walking around Bly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's just walking around by herself because there's not even any other ghosts now.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
That's terrible.
Our girl doesn't deserve that.
We cut to old Jamie, which we now know.
California,
2007. She's like, sorry, that was so long. LOL. I know I just like the night before your wedding and I just told a 9-episode long story. But
yeah, the groom is like, God damn it. Yeah. Get the hell out of here.
So this rando.
We don't even know this lady.
This rando wedding guest says, so is it true? Hot Mama just goes, which part? Which is basically saying, and then she says, If I want to go to Bly Manor, would I see her? Something along those lines.
I expect that if you were to fly to England, you would find no manor with that name.
Yes. Yeah, so basically, Hot Mama, aka Old Jamie, is an unreliable narrator. She changes things for the story. And this is kind of where I just want to say that for me, when we get the reveal that these people are Owen and Flora and Miles and Jamie
and Henry
and that they don't look anything alike and they're whatever it is, to me it's just a dramatization. So Jamie is telling this story and taking creative liberties wherever she can. These are just kind of actors, quote unquote. The Jamie
the
and Owen that we love are the actors, quote unquote, playing the part. So just because Flora's accent is, I mean, she was 8 when she left America, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be exact. Hot Mama and Jamie's accent doesn't have to be exactly the same Cockney accent. It could just be, you have to just take it as it is, which is what I had to think that through to say, okay, now that makes sense. Because I was like, that doesn't look anything like Owen. What the fuck? And that then I was like, wait, okay.
Makes a lot of sense. And it also made me appreciate the ending a lot more, because I was having the issue that I was doing some, you know, extra reading on this episode after I finished the series, because you're always craving more online. And people were figuring it out. And some information that they came across was earlier in the episode when they were talking about Christmas, Jamie and Danny, they mentioned going to Vermont. That's like a piece of the puzzle. And what happens when Danny finally gets the Civil Union papers?
Yeah.
They're, because of the timeline, and they were talking about earlier in the episode that they can't legally get married and they eventually get the Civil Union papers. It was the year 2000 in Vermont that they legalized that. So what that means to me is that there's only been 7 years in between Danny going back to Bly Manor and becoming the Lady in the Lake again and this wedding. Right. So to me, it would have been almost impossible to explain away the difference between Jamie's character actor versus Hot Mama.
Age alone. Okay.
Because it was only 7 years.
Seven years and 5 years that she spent being happy with.
No. 7 years after that. Like at the end Civil Union, the last scene we get with Danny. Yeah.
I will say that in the last tub scene with Jamie and Danny, Jamie has like blatant gray hairs. Just like spread. And I kept going, do you think they dyed those one by one? Because I was staring at them. And as a 27-year-old girl with a full head of gray hair, I have to dye my hair. So like I know what it's like.
Because that right there would have taken place 13 years after they left Bly Manor.
Sure.
Yeah. It's funny to me because that is the one thing that didn't bother me at all, the actors not looking the same, because Hill House did it with young Hugh and old Hugh, and I was just expecting it to be okay.
That's different. That's exactly, that is like young Hugh is old Hugh. Like they are the same human being.
Well,
whereas this felt like it could go either way. They could have left it up for chance.
That's what I would have liked if they, we're not stupid. Okay. We know that Owen is Owen.
Show don't tell.
Right. Don't show us the younger versions of them in her looking at
it. But I loved it.
No. Look, I mean, it's cute when Henry and Flora are dancing with each other and it's Henry with the little Flora. But at the same time, if you don't show that, then you can just leave everything up to interpretation. But we also are not stupid and we know, like, okay, that's supposed to be Owen. That's supposed to be, you know, and they put in the credits older Owen, older Miles, older, you know, so it's just, that's it. That's the end.
I agree with you. It would have been a little bit better if they did leave it up.
We would have gotten the confirmation, because Jamie would have been confirmed as older Jamie by the reflections and stuff. And yeah, you're right. We're not done. We could. I completely agree with that. They should have left
that
up.
But then we wouldn't have got friggin' Henry Thomas doing swirls with little Flora.
That's what I just said. It's cute. But let me just say, like, when older Flora says, hey, that's, you know, I was wondering if it's a coincidence that my middle name's Flora. You know, that was the confirmation that she's Flora.
That was enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't need the corny, I'm going to look around the room and here's the flashes to the young version and they're cheersing me and stuff. I don't need that.
I agree with you, man. I am at least happy that there's some explainable way. And Kathleen, you did a good job of talking about it, that it's not the actors just aged incredibly poorly, especially Henry. Like, Jesus Christ.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an old man at this point.
And literally, it's, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, I think Owen looks exactly the same age. Like,
no muzzy.
Yeah. Like, too complete. Obvious. They don't even look anything the same. But we're not even there yet. So Owen kind of wrangles everyone to go to bed. He just jumps up and is like, is that the time? Oh, we got to get the fuck out of here. So he does
walk by and
sweet
give her, exactly, like an acknowledgement that she understands that that was a hard story for her to tell.
Yeah, Jamie shares a look and Flora stays behind. And I fucking love this part. I don't think they necessarily really needed to give this really intense moment to Flora, older Flora, but I fucking loved it. And if you notice, so she's American at this point, which is what kind of throws you off in the opening scene of the pilot, because you're like, she's American, that can't be Flora, which is whatever. But when her husband is leaving, he says something like, are you okay or something? And she says, I'm perfect. Not perfectly splendid, but I'm perfect. And then she says, I love you so, which just makes it seem like kind of like British. I don't know. But old Flora's acting is the bomb here. Old Jamie's saying, are you okay? What's on your mind? And she's just talking about how much she loves her like goofy, silly, handsome fiance. I like your story, but you got it wrong at the top. You said it was a ghost story. It's not. It's a love story, which is so true. So she's saying she loves her fiance at this point more than she could ever thought she could love anyone in the entire world. And the best part about it is he loves her exactly the same. Sobs. Her sobs are so good during this. She kills this. She like got all of her money's worth out of this one. So she's getting upset and thinking about maybe him dying first. And she says something like, when we share this easy silence, and then this is when the real sobs come in. She says, you only get with your forever person. I was like, no one settle here, boys. We don't settle.
I don't
find your forever person. Steph, your forever person.
I found her.
Baby.
Before we go, though, because I do want to bring it up to the attention that when they go in for that close hug, you see the ring that Danny put into the plant on Hot Mama / Jamie's hand. So that's if it wasn't already obvious, that's your first explicit sign that it is Jamie.
Okay, so I will like to say to my listeners, specifically mine,
I
got spoiled on IMDb and I'm so upset. I was midway through and I was obsessed with Jamie and the actress and I needed to know the actress's name. So I IMDb'd it. And when I was scrolling, I saw under Carla, who is Hot Mama's name, it said Old Jamie, and then I was devastated. So I couldn't ever make this guess. I was spoiled the entire time through, which sucks. Boys, when was the moment you realized it?
I started saying that it was a possibility the second Danny died.
Exactly. That's when I got it.
Or it started to click even more with the accent because I was very hung up on it not being an American versus British accent. Like, it couldn't have really made sense that it was Danny. But that was the moment as soon as it was confirmed that Danny was at the bottom of the lake.
Agreed.
I got to be honest. It didn't click until they spoon fed it to me. If you go back and listen, I've been swinging and missing on like every single one of my theories on this podcast. And I'm not upset about it because I'm so happy to be surprised at stuff. Yeah. But I looked at my roommate. I was like, are they going to spoon feed this to me? Should I have gotten something from that conversation? He's like, yeah, you're going to get there, man.
Oh, he'd already seen it?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He watched it
in two days.
And I was like, nah, I can watch one and two.
Let me just say it's torture on the podcast.
Five and six. Yeah. This show specifically is the first time where I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
it's officially
I just want to crush it.
Been out about 11 days at this point. It is Tuesday of the week after it came out. And it has been fucking torture. If it wasn't for this podcast, I'd have been done Saturday morning the night it came out. It came out on Friday. But we do it for you, listeners.
I have really enjoyed talking about this show. This has been a good one.
So after we get the embrace and we have the cool Flora is the bride's middle name scene, we're flipping right to the wedding day itself.
Well, real quick, does anyone have the quote where she says, I feel like I need to give you a hug or something, basically like saying, I don't really know you, but I feel like I need to give you a hug?
I mean, you just kind of said it. There's not much of a quote.
I don't remember if there's any more to the quote, but
the question is, does she not know who Jamie is?
That's the thing. Like,
yeah, that kind of bugs me out.
Yeah, first of all, why is Jamie invited to the wedding if she doesn't know her? Why do they know Owen? Why? But not Jamie. Why don't they? I mean, do they know Miss Jessel? I guess not.
Let me just say, Jamie was invited to the rehearsal dinner. You don't very fan favorites get invited to the rehearsal.
She's sitting right next to Henry too.
The practice meal.
If Flora does not know her, I would give it a mulligan because Henry does, and Henry, based on that relationship, would make sure Jamie was there.
That's also true. And 110%. That just clicked. As you said, that's she was fine. Sitting next to Henry.
She does sit next to Henry.
Henry should have been sitting next to Flora though.
That explains why I just. You know, the kids should remember Jamie based on the fact that they remember Owen.
Right.
So I agree with you there, but the fact that she was at the wedding is explainable.
How about?
Yeah, no, the fact that she's there now that you're saying that, I agree. That's fine. I just think it's weird, especially Mrs. Gross, the whole like, oh, she's just a lady that was there when we were there in the summers. Then they definitely shouldn't remember Owen because all he did was cook for like a couple years.
Well, they should remember Jamie and Owen the same way they remember Hannah.
Exactly.
They were just there.
Yeah.
Like aware of their existence.
And
maybe
it just,
love them,
just sucks that Danny sacrificed everything for them and they don't even know who that. They probably don't know anything about Danny if it's the haunting spells lifted thing.
I wasn't on the episode, but there is a moment early on where Jamie takes Flora to bed and Flora looks at Jamie and says, you're the coolest. And I'm like, yeah, you don't remember her. She's the coolest.
Yeah. And also, let's just talk about the fact that Owen and Henry and are standing there, and this is the night of Flora's wedding, the night before Flora's wedding, and this could be like, what if Flora just like remembered shit?
Yeah,
and just
right.
Ruined her life.
Truly, that is an insane
like,
story to tell.
The story,
the
and she's like realized like, oh, my middle name's Flora. Wait, is this about me? Like, oh shit. Oh my god.
Yeah, but she's like, how? I thought you were making it up based off of my middle name, based off of the name, but then I thought, how could you know that?
Right.
And then she says Flora is my middle name, and she's like,
what's her first
name? You're shitting me. I don't know. Guess who?
You're shitting me.
You're shitting me. No, can't be true.
As we move along, though, we already I'm gonna get us out of there, guys. So we already touched on it, but the next scene is at the reception following the wedding. Everyone's partying, and Hot Mama is just kind of sitting in the corner, nursing her cocktail, doing whatever, looking out over the party, and she makes eye contact with older Owen, who kind of gives her the nod, and she looks over at Miles and old Flora and Henry, and it's just flashing between their older selves and the younger selves that Jamie remembers them by, and this is them spoon feeding us. Hey,
spoon feeding you.
Spoon feeding me. I say us. It's just me. I was the only one that still didn't know. But now I know. And yeah, they're the same people that the story was. There's not really much to dissect there. It's pretty straightforward. But then we get Jamie returning to her hotel room, and it all just brings it back full circle. We see her going through her new routine. Well, not new, ever since Danny left, of filling the bath, filling the sink, and checking her mirror. Just waiting for Danny to
raising
reappear.
That water bill.
Leaving,
leaving that door open.
The hotel, though. No worries.
Getting
here.
Murdered.
Leaving the door open a crack.
Yeah.
Psycho.
Anyone can come in.
Anyone can come in.
Spooky
but
season.
Let me see if I can stump you guys. She falls asleep in the chair, and then they zoom in on the back of her, and Danny's hand is on her shoulder.
Yeah.
Damn it. Did you
see?
No.
I did not.
Oh my God, Luke.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's another thing that people were pissed about. Does that mean that she's actually there? Does that mean
that it's kind of weird?
Does that mean that she's just like, I'll always be there with you? Does that
to reevaluate? Holy shit. I watched this an hour and a half ago. So,
So it's only her hand showing on her shoulder. So there's no like.
It's when they zoom to the. So they zoom to Hot Mama's front. Then they zoom to the back. So you're just staring at the back of her head with the cracked door, hotel room door in front of her. And then on her right, it's zooming in, and you just see a hand like
it's kind of like with young Hugh or old Hugh and Hot Mama when she's behind him at the wedding.
Okay,
but you only see the hand.
Yeah,
but that's it. That's
the episode. I want to just go back real quick. The first 5 minutes of the pilot are worth watching after the episode because, of course, that is at the wedding rehearsal. And she does wake up alone in the chair. She obviously does it every single night. And I said, it seems unsafe, but whatever. So she does the routine, whatever. But I like Owen's speech. Now that we know it's Owen, you can go back and listen to it. When she enters, she shows up late. She sits next to Henry. There they show like a quick look. And Owen's telling this goofy speech about 50% of marriages don't end in divorce, whatever. He says, you two get to watch each other die, basically. And then he says,
definitely Owen's personality.
Yes.
100%.
To truly love another person is to accept that the work of loving them is worth the pain of losing them. And that's it. It's so good. And I just think that quote is such a great parallel because in Jamie's fucking amazing speech in 6, she's basically saying people aren't worth it. People aren't worth it. The flowers are, whatever it is. And now she's doing this routine every single night because this one person was worth it to her. Mm-hmm. You better stop. It's so good.
Oh my God.
I fucking love this show. I will watch it 10,000 more times in my life.
Only for the love story.
I'm ready to talk about the things I loved and the things
I hated.
Let's
do it, Lukey. Let me pour some wine for this.
Yeah. Let's. Hey, here you go.
Thank you, sir.
Leave that in there. Okay. All right. So let's just start with my basic complaints that there's no answer to. It's just a complaint in general, and there's no way you're going to convince me otherwise. I thought that there was.
I take that challenge.
I thought that there was not enough payoff for a couple things. First, being Specs was not anything to me. That was, we talked, because in the episode, who was it that was on 5-6? It was me, you, and Dave. We talked about the scene that ends
4-6.
Four is the one where she
Specs.
That was my pod.
5 is the Hannah.
You don't see Specs again
ever,
since 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So was the whole entire thing that either one, when she burned the glasses, was that symbolic of her moving on, or two, her acknowledging and accepting that she was just going to go full lesbian with Jamie?
Okay, I kind of went into this yesterday that I would have dove so fucking deep into this. But so it's half guilt. It's half guilt that she basically killed him, right? Mm-hmm. So that's that. But it is her sexuality. I mean, it's coming to terms with her sexuality and actually facing it all together. So I do think her throwing the glasses in the fire and doing the bonfire thing, and then her being with Jamie, it does it. But I just like the idea that the people that come into this house are troubled and susceptible. If you're just like Owen didn't get haunted, it's because he's a sweet, sweet angel boy and he might not be susceptible. You know what I mean? It's just,
but
like,
she was haunted before she went to Bly in the very first scene.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She comes already with a guilty and a shady baggage pass. Yes, exactly. So I just think that the people that come in with it with something like that are more susceptible to the haunting.
Yeah, but my question goes back to what made it go away.
Facing it and being with Jamie. I was fine with it just being symbolism and her being with Jamie, but I also don't think anyone was really haunted in the house except the kids and by Peter and
Jessel.
Jessel, like, Hannah was just a ghost.
Well, Hannah was kind of dumb about the whole thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you can live in the house and not be haunted.
Hannah got killed by the ghost, so that
that's Peter. I mean, that's
who
Peter
was a ghost.
Being a ghost, but I'm saying you're not like, it's not like Hill House where you're like being like changed by the house.
Yeah.
I don't think
they had dreams and shit.
Only when they're tucked away.
No, like Owen and
At the end,
Jamie,
I guess,
at the end.
All I got to say is if that was going to be the end of Specs, I'm happy that they did it that early, because I mentioned it a lot, even in the first two episodes when we were covering that on the podcast, saying that they showed us Specs so much early in the season that it had to get resolved sooner rather than later. It was not going to be an episode 9 thing. So I'm fine with that. I seriously just don't think it's that great of a payoff.
I almost think they gave it to us because they knew they could present it early and resolve it early, and they wanted to give us some like spooky stuff in the beginning
and a backstory for Danny too, which is cool.
And it is her backstory, but I genuinely think they wanted something to get people hooked through the first couple episodes, and that was it.
I think your problem with it is it's similar to the Nell thing, and the Nell thing was just so mind-blowing, phenomenal. Like, early couple episodes in, you find out, spoiler alert, Benneck lady, you know? So for this, it's like, oh, there's Specs, and that's like kind of a little reveal thing, and it's just nothing.
Another quick grievance I had with another non-payoff thing that's pretty minor. It doesn't affect what I think about the overall season, but I mentioned it a little bit earlier, Smiley. I just didn't think he had
every time
enough.
You say that, I think you're saying Theo's
Me
Mr.
Too.
Smiley.
Me too.
Oh, shit.
Also, I went in my trunk the other day and there was a Smiley in my mirror, my rear view mirror, where I popped my trunk and there was a Smiley in my mirror. I was like,
well,
who the
magicians.
Fuck did that?
That's fucking
that is magicians.
God, I love
But listen, I said it earlier and Brian was trying to play it off like it bought them 10 seconds, but I really felt like Henry was a disappointment. I loved his episode when I got to it in the series. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, you're like, that was so good.
That was a really good episode, and it did a lot for me, but it did a lot for the context of the parents' deaths, which I guess was the point, and also like him being Flora's father. But Smiley himself didn't pay off. And again, that's going to go back to Kathleen, what you're saying, how it's another psychological thing. It's not a ghost that's haunting him.
Right.
It's really just him being hammered in his room. Feeling
so I guess
that also could have been because this is Jamie's retelling, her taking that creative freedom to add, he's being haunted by this alter ego of himself.
RGG.
Kind of insane that Jamie's like, I'm going to make this fun. I'm going to make this a really good story.
So I guess my bottom line is that I'm realizing after two seasons of The Haunting, I don't care for the non-ghost hauntings of things.
I agree.
RGG had the cool shrill
scene. You loved RGG, though.
I loved the scene that the house showed her, but RGG himself did nothing. Smiley did nothing for me, and Specs did nothing for me. So I guess that's just where I'm at, and maybe I'm expecting too much of a payoff for something that's only going to be internalized by one character and can't possibly be linked to, like, Flora never would have seen Smiley or Specs under any circumstance, even though she could see ghosts.
And just for the record, anyone who didn't listen to Hill House, RGG is Ray's glass guy from season one. Cheryl's vision she sees of hot James Lafferty all the time.
But that's it. That those are just my minor complaints that you can't convince me that I'm going to like because I just didn't like
sure, it. Sure, yeah. Sure. I just would like to say as my end thing that I would trust Mike Flanagan with my life. I love him. He can write whatever. He can direct whatever and I will watch it. I believe in this haunting universe.
It's been really freaking good.
I mean, most of the other twists were fantastic. I would say the best twist of this season for me personally was the Jamie reveal because, and the reason I say that is because Miles being possessed by Peter was, we sniped that from day one. That wasn't a twist as much as a cool way of writing something that we saw that they planted seeds for. It was an earned payoff.
Let's actually bring this up. What other twists were there that we did that actually got us?
I feel like the whole episode 8 was sort of a twist on itself.
Mind blown. I love it. Just the explanation.
Just explaining why she's the lady.
And explained all the ghost origins, which I fucking love.
No, I like that.
That's more of a reveal, not a twist, but I totally agree.
I mean, I'm talking about like versus Hill House. There was like a lot.
There's nothing that's going to compare to Hill House.
Like the Red Room reveal, Bent Neck Lady reveal, that kind of stuff was just ridiculous.
Nothing is ever going to compare to the Bent Neck Lady reveal. That killed me.
That was the best.
That absolutely
was the single best moment of both of these series, like to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that these series do such a good job with building suspense and just each episode giving me something that I'm like, wow, I don't think anything could ever top Hill House. I mean, as a first season, it's just incredible. But I thought Bly was right up there for it with me. And, you know, I'm such a sucker for a love story, baby. So, of course, I loved this more.
I think it did a really it was received well enough that it's easily getting a season 3. Hopefully they take in the reviews and the feedback that they're getting between the contrast of season 1 and season 2 and make season 3. I hate to say it, but more like season 1 than season 2.
Make season 3 great again.
Oh, <God. laughs> no, I mean, Psych! Season 2 is good.
Okay, Kathleen. Like, I mean, I
Jimmy, what?
Okay, Kathleen. No, like, I liked the end, but I just had a problem with they're going for 8 episodes with the haunting thing and the ghosts and this and that, and then 15 minutes, that's done.
Yeah, but Danny still lived with it until almost the very end.
I'm not saying that that's fine that Danny lived with it, but I'm saying, like, just everything else about it. Like, Miss Jessel was like, I guess they gave her, like, a good quick thing in the 15 minutes, just saying, Flora, I'll tuck you away. But, like,
I will agree with you that I wish there was a bigger Miss Jessel payout. Peter Quinn can fuck right off.
Oh, yeah.
But Miss Jessel, the redemption... was the Flora thing going wading into the lake and gonna die for her? But I really do like the Jessel stuff was awesome.
Like, Miss Jessel was the parallel to Danny, and she was phenomenal until Peter, the way she was, like her personality and everything. Yeah. And then as a ghost, she was like a shell of herself. So I just thought that anything with that, those two were not good until ever. Like, I didn't think at the end they never paid it off. I just don't think she didn't get the I'm back to Mrs. Jessel kind of thing.
No, the story is Peter ruined her.
Yeah, well, I just thought that it would be that she would not.
I do want to say, I want to make sure that I'm on the same page as you guys. Do you hate Peter because we're supposed to, or do you hate him how he was written this season? Because
no, because we were supposed to.
Okay, cool.
Because he's a bad dude.
Oh, I fucking loved Peter Quint as an act. Baby. Oliver Jackson Cohen can get it.
If I'm looking at it, if I'm stepping back and looking at it, I think if you're just looking at episodes 1 through 7, which doesn't count the black and white episode in the finale, I think Peter's character was the driver of it all.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, he was great. I'm happy. Okay, cool.
Love to hate him.
Same page.
For the dollhouse, to me, and I could be completely fucking wrong, the pieces, like a chessboard kind of, would change via where everyone is in the house. It wasn't that Fleur could move somebody and that human would move.
No, it's Figment showing her where everyone is. Yeah.
Is that what you guys think
that's
it is? It's always the little kid always moving it?
I guessed it before we even knew. And
I thought it just kind of moved itself. And then sometimes, I don't know. I love that you guys are calling him Figment.
I got it from them. I don't
just
know.
Just got an email. My ballot's on the way. Everybody out there vote.
Yeah, baby, you got to vote.
I just took it as Figment was helping her. But what's the point? It's only like, why move everyone around if all the ghosts are fine except for a lady in the lake? But I'm just saying, I thought that the dollhouse was such a cool thing, and I was waiting for the ghost to be a little bit more of a thing. And really, the only ghost that mattered was Peter and Jessel and Lady in the Lake.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they're showing.
But I think that there's a kind of poetry in that, that none of them wanted it. And yet they had to fucking.
They had their moments as being alive to serve their part of the story. So them just being there, while they did focus a little bit too much on them for them not to have a payoff, it made sense that they were there.
When they first showed the dollhouse and you're like, B-Toms went off on this sweet thing being like, this is looking at it, the still shot saying like, this is where this person is. This is where that person is. This is this ghost. This is that ghost. But it really doesn't matter.
Okay, so let me attack that for a little bit, because I did mention one thing when I think it was me, Brian, and Dave's episode 5-6. We were talking about it's Henry's episode, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because he talked about when he was a kid, he had his own personal soldier ghost.
Right.
And I said specifically on that podcast that if we don't see that soldier ghost again, that was enough payoff for me, because the soldier ghost was in Bly Manor and shown to be in the dollhouse.
Yeah.
And it was Henry's ghost who he mentions to Flora when they're talking about fake mint, and we never see him again. So like, that's part of the little things that I guess the dollhouse did, because, you know, the plague doctor was there a lot in episode one.
He
but
just
didn't
looked
have
like a, he was stalking them the whole time. Agreed. In episode one. But I'm going to cut you off, because the soldier, if you listen to the pod episode three, when the police officer comes in and he's talking to Danny,
right,
he's chilling.
Okay, yeah, but I mean,
so
like, he didn't
so
have
he's there. The I'm soldiers? Fine with the soldier. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see the soldier.
He didn't on, just standing there.
But he didn't have a backstory, right? Why?
No, I think I figured out what my problem was. Like, my problem was that I was expecting season one, like a Hill House, and like you're saying, it's not a ghost story, it's a love story. So I think that the main focus, I just had one expectation, came out with another, and it just wasn't what I expected, even though. If I know what it is now, I still think it's a really good show.
Yeah.
You know?
And wait, while we're talking about this, speaking of ghosts, outside of episode one, I didn't see almost anything.
There is one soldier so much. And then the soldier I saw, there was the little figment kid you see here and there sometimes. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah, it wasn't like Hill House at all.
I don't know. I'm trying not to compare it at all. I just loved it. I really liked it. Tags, you haven't talked in 30 minutes. What's
it's
up,
just
dude?
Because I don't have like these gripes. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm not trying to seek out these holes in the show.
Me
because
neither.
I think it's okay that there are holes. Yeah, I am satisfied. Yeah, and I know that.
That's why we have us all on the pod.
That doesn't make for terrific podcast content, but I'm just all good with it, you know? And I think it speaks to, like, what purpose would the other ghosts have? They just got fucked. They didn't have any say in it, and they're just accepting their fate. They're like, what can they do?
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Okay.
I'm saying that the problem is that
they should have.
No, I'm saying the problem is that the reveal was that they're nothing.
But again, I'm going to say it again. I feel like there's some poetry in that. I feel like they got.
But that's see it both ways.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, now that I know what kind of show this season was, I'm good with it. Like, the point of the show wasn't the ghosts. It's not a ghost story. That's the point of the show.
Like how season one was.
Right.
That.
Right.
Okay,
now
I'm
fine
that's
with it. But I'm just saying, when I was watching the first four episodes and it was about the dollhouse and I'm looking for the ghosts and I'm going, holy shit, what's the mystery? What's the mystery? I was so pulled in by it. And then I started to realize that it's not that at all. Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, I don't know if I care as much.
Oh, I just, man, I was so invested right off the jump. Again, like I said.
You explained yourself really well there. I can totally see both sides. Yeah. I've switched in my head in the last 5 minutes going back and forth thinking, what the fuck? Where do I stand?
And I think it needs to be said that when we have any of these problems with it, it's still a great show.
Yes, amazing. Absolutely. I'm the one bringing up a lot of these issues, but I stand by it. This show is really good. I would recommend this to anyone. I would almost want to say watch this one before Hill House.
No, I wouldn't, only because Dave is doing that right now, and I think he's missing out by not have seeing Hill House first.
Why?
You're saying that because you think Hill House is better and you don't want Bly to suffer from that, but
yes,
I think loving Hill House and it being so incredible makes Bly better.
Bullseye.
Well, that is just saying that the reason you like Bly is a residual effect because of Hill, and that takes away from Bly.
It doesn't, because it's the way they tell the story. It is the actors. You're right, but I totally get what you're saying.
I think it's more of like, I loved Nell so much. So when what's the actress's
name? Oh, Victoria Petretti.
Victoria. Once I found out she was the protagonist of this, I was just like, awesome. Love Nell. Love her in this. Great. When I found out Theo was playing the lady in the lake, I was just like, I'm so on board for this character. Immediately, like, because I fell in love with the premise and the characters and the actors, really, in Hill House, I went into this with such a positive attitude. This would have had to be a pretty bad product for me to dislike it. Luckily, it was a good product that they put out.
Yeah.
And my love for Hill House just made me like it probably more than I otherwise would have. So yeah, I agree with
and
you.
And it was the intended sequence of what you're supposed to watch it. It's even though it's anthology, it's still season one, mm-hmm. season two. So I think that was the intended benefit of it, honestly. I love them both.
I
mean, we're going to have a good personal anecdote of this when Dave finishes Hill House.
Yeah.
Which he's a couple episodes away. So we'll ask him at what he thought about Bly when comparing it to Hill House, when we compare that to what we thought about Hill House compared to Bly.
I mean, listen, Nell was incredible in season one, Victoria Pedretti as Nell. And then you listen to her and people are complaining about her accent. But honestly, I was like, that accent is insane. And I think she's an amazing actress because I know that's not her fucking voice. She's just putting on that accent.
She's from our area. So, you know, she talks like us.
I know. She's talking about fucking Philly ass, Delco ass accent. She drinks water, dude. She drinks water. Yeah.
All right. Wait. So we pretty much did this at the end of season one Hill House podcast. I just want to talk. We don't have to get too into it because the characters are a little bit.
Favorite character on three?
Yeah, I just wanted to know what everyone's thinking was.
Least favorite character on three and favorite character on three.
Give me a second.
But that's all we're going to do. We're not going to dive into the characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, also, which one are we going least favorite? First, favorite.
Wait, give me a second.
Favorite first.
I got it.
Three, two, one.
Jamie, Owen.
Owen.
You supposed to say Owen?
My man.
Hey, yeah. That's my boy. Okay, so me and Luke said Jamie, and Jimmy and Tag said Owen. And honestly, both of them, I don't think Owen was enough of a main. He's a supporting character. He's not a main. But honestly, neither is Jamie, so until the end.
Jamie's main, more main than Owen.
She becomes main, yeah. But Owen was more of a main before Jamie was a main.
Honorable mentions, I just want to see gauge your reactions just by me saying them. I thought Henry, once I got to Henry's episode, I was all in for him. He kind of tailed off at the end, but I really liked Henry's character, and I really liked Viola, whatever.
I'm Flora and Danny all the way as my second tier.
Danny,
I like Flora.
See, in Hill House, Nell was my favorite character.
I thought she was incredible acting
far.
Here.
Agreed.
I still think she was great in this, but I wouldn't put her as top three. Like, I put Owen above her as well. I almost want to say she's above Hannah. But
Mike Flanagan, I guess, or whoever's doing the casting, just knows how to get young kids who can act.
I know, right? The Haunting Universe kids rock.
All of them.
Okay, now least favorite on three. But you got to give me 1 second.
Least favorite.
Wait.
Character, not acting.
Yeah.
Character, not acting. Okay, wait. Okay.
Three, two, one.
Rebecca.
Peter. Did we all say Peter and you said Rebecca?
I said Rebecca.
Hey, Peter. Yeah. Peter.
I almost said Miles, honestly. I didn't really like Miles. I like Flora way better.
Well,
than
only reason you don't like Miles is because it's fucking cunt ass Peter.
Yeah,
he's being a twat.
Okay, that's so true. Much. That's true.
Wait, but Luke, Luke, you said Rebecca is your least favorite character?
Of all the main characters?
Soon as she becomes
complacent
under the spell of Peter and then a ghost, yes, I would have.
I also
agree.
Think she did enough as a ghost to even though she backed off of Flora. She didn't do shit to really help.
Exactly. I agree. That's what I was saying my problem
You're
was, too.
She was going to take away the pain of drowning. Sure.
Well, she saved Danny and Flora at the end. I mean, she did. She
yeah,
saved
but, like,
them.
She did.
When she was tied up, when Danny was tied up, she's like, get Flora the fuck out of here. If it wasn't for Flora being like...
You. She could have done way more way sooner to probably save Miles, too.
I mean, Miles is freaking sitting there, and the dollhouse is showing that Peter's standing over his bed as he sleeps every freaking night. Miss Jessel could be like, hey, bro, let's, like, get the hell out of here for a little bit.
True. You know? For the record, Peter murdered Rebecca in cold blood, so...
Yeah, well, and he was a little bitch. And he was a little bitch and left...
No, but I'm saying for Rebecca's personality, she's fucking depressed. And
we are not going to be covering The Haunting of Bly Manor anymore. This is the finale, obviously. We had a great time doing it, though. I think we all enjoyed the show, maybe some more than others. I don't know. Jimmy and Luke are pretty grumpy over here.
Well, I thought
relax.
Oh, I kid. I kid because I care. As always, if you like what you heard, give Pinchtown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram and subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Once again, we are Pinchtown TV. And thanks for listening.